I want to thank Luke and Jaden for the scripture reading. Can y'all hear me okay? I tend to be soft-spoken, so. Obviously, tonight the lesson is going to be about Micaiah. Micaiah is only mentioned twice in the Bible. He's mentioned in 1 Kings chapter 22. He's mentioned in 2 Chronicles chapter 18, which is, the young men just read that part there from for 2 Chronicles chapter 18. What do we know about Micaiah? All we have is the internal information from these two chapters. So if we can dig deep into this, there are some very good lessons from Micaiah and his life. First off, who was Micaiah? He was a prophet. Just a reminder, a prophet is not a priest. A priest is not a prophet. They each have separate jobs. We're familiar with the job of the priest. The job of the priest was to bring the prayers of the people to God. People at the time could not offer sacrifices. The priest had to offer the sacrifice. So you would bring your sacrifice to the priest. The priest would then slaughter it, offer it to God on the fire, and say your prayers for you. A prophet's job was different. A prophet's job was to bring God's word to the people. Now, in our time, we tend to think when we say prophesy, that means to foretell. That is a narrow scope. That is not what prophecy really is. Prophecy literally means explanation. So, in effect, Micaiah was the explainer of God's word. Obviously, this man was important. How do we know? Well, Micaiah was known as a man of God. How do we know that? Let's go back to let's go to 1 Kings chapter 22. 1 Kings chapter 22. And look at this, what's going on here. Jehoshaphat, who is the king of Judah, remember, Judah and Israel have split. The 10 northern tribes went after Solomon's death, rather than accept Rehoboam as king. They rejected him and accepted Jeroboam as a false king. Now, Jeroboam was afraid that now that he was king, if the children of Israel continued to go to the temple, which is in Jerusalem, to offer prayers, he would lose their support and he would no longer be king. So he set up a totally unauthorized temples for them to worship at. So you have false kings, false prophets. Now that doesn't mean there were not true prophets in the 10 northern tribes. There were. In this particular case, we're looking at Micaiah. He is in the kingdom of Israel, not the kingdom of Judah. Now, Ahab, who is the husband of Jezebel, was not a good king. As a matter of fact, Israel, the northern kingdom, had none good kings. And unfortunately, many, probably most, of the kings of Judah were not very faithful either. But Jehoshaphat was. But here at this point, it's still fairly early since the split. So Jehoshaphat, who is, by the way, Ahab's son-in-law, is making a visit to dear old father-in-law. And his father-in-law says, hey, let's go to war against Ramoth Gilead. Ben-Hadad, who's the king there of the Arameans in Damascus, let's go fight against him. Jehoshaphat, being a good man, a godly man, says, well, what did your prophets say? Now, remember what I said. What has happened? Are there true prophets in the northern kingdom? At this point, there's one, Micaiah. What Ahab has done is he has surrounded himself with false prophets, 400 of them. They tell the king what he wants to hear. So he asks these 400 false prophets, hey, what does God say will happen if I go to war against Ramoth Gilead? and they give him the answer that he wants. God's going to with you. You're going to beat Ben-Hadad. Go for it. But what does Jehoshaphat say? Jehoshaphat asked, please inquire for the word of the Lord today. 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 4. Ahab says to Jehoshaphat, will you go with me to fight at Ramoth Gilead? And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, I am as you are, my people, your people, my horses, your horses. But also Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, please inquire for the word of the Lord today. Jehoshaphat is willing to fight as long as God gives his blessing. So the king of Israel, and that's Ahab, gathers his prophets, and he asks them, should I go against the Ramoth Gilead? And they tell him, go for it, for the Lord, go up, for the Lord will deliver it into the hand of the king. Now Jehoshaphat is not a stupid man. He's looking at these 400 prophets, and he sees they're obviously yes men. So he asks a very simple question. Is there not, interesting word here, still a prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire of him? So Jehoshaphat is aware of what is going on. And what does Ahab said? There's still one man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah. But I hate him because he does not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. So there is still a man of God in the northern kingdom, even surrounded by all this evil. That man is Micaiah. Micaiah held true to God. In spite of everyone else telling him what to do, he held true to the word of God. Let's turn to verse 14 here. 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 14. Let's go up to 12. go back to 11. Zedekiah the son of Kenaniah had made horns of iron for himself, and he said, thus says the Lord, with these you shall gore the Syrians until they are destroyed. And all the prophets prophesied so, saying, go unto Ramoth Gilead and prosper, for the Lord will deliver it into the king's hand. Now, it doesn't make any sense to us when he talks about these iron horns. He's literally talking about iron horns like you would horns from a bull. Think of it as today's, what you call a PowerPoint projection. He's literally holding these horns up and saying, these horns, with these are going to be your horns that you're going to stick it to Ben-Hadad. It's just a visual. The problem is that is false worship. Where do the horns come from? Remember the golden calf? That was a false god from the Egyptians, Hathor specifically. In Egypt, remember that the children of Israel lived in Egypt for 430 years, so they were exposed to idol worship. Hathor, the god, took the form of a bull, and he was the god of male virility and male fertility. So, when you went to war, you wanted Hathor, i.e. these horns on your side. So this is false worship right here. But what does Micaiah, the man of God, say? Micaiah says, as the Lord lives, whatever the Lord says to me, that I will speak. Verse 14. So it doesn't matter what the others are doing. Micaiah, the man of God, is going to what? He's going to hold true to God. He's not afraid to tell the truth. Micaiah was not afraid to tell the truth as he saw it. And remember, where does Micaiah's truth come from? It comes from God. Now, at first, when the two kings asked Micaiah, should they go to war against Ramoth Gilead, he says rather sarcastically, yeah, you go ahead. But even Ahab recognizes that. The king said to him, verse 16 here, how many times shall I make you swear that you tell me nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord? At this time, Micaiah lets it loose and tells King Ahab the straight, unvarnished truth. And he says, I saw all Israel scattered on the mountains, a sheep that have no shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let each return to his house in peace. And please notice this. What does Ahab sue? The king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, did I not tell you he would not prophesy good concerning me, but evil? Now remember what I was explaining, the difference between prophecy and foretelling? This is both. Micaiah, the man of God, is telling the truth, and he's telling what's going to happen in the future. He's explaining to Ahab what is going to happen. Why? Because Ahab is not favored by God. Ahab has turned his back on God. The previous chapter, remember what has happened? In chapter 21, what happened with Ahab? Ahab conspired to get Naboth's land. And he had, you know, Jezebel had his false witnesses against Naboth so that Ahab could kill him and then take over the choice vineyard that he had. What's interesting in that, sort of aside, is that when the, excuse me, when Elijah comes up and talks to Ahab and tells him what's going to happen, Ahab actually repents. And he puts he goes around in sackcloth and ashes, and he fasts. And then so the Lord says that what will happen is he will not take his vengeance on Ahab, but he will take it in the time of Ahab's son. So that tells you, you know, that Ahab knows right from wrong. He knows that there is a God. He knows that God is powerful. He does believe in God. He just doesn't follow God. Now back to Micaiah. There's no doubt in Micaiah's mind that God is true, that God speaks the truth. And by gosh, that is exactly what Micaiah is going to do. He's going to speak God's truth, knowing that it is going to cost him. Because what happens? After Micaiah makes his prediction, he's put in jail and put on bread and water. Now, guys, understand that jail in those days was not the jails that we have now. When they talk about throwing you into prison and throwing away the key, they would do that sometimes. You weren't necessarily fed in prison. That was why the injunction for us is to go and visit people in prison. Definitely no air conditioning. No medical care that we would talk about. Being thrown in prison those days was rough. It was not easy. Yet, Micaiah, knowing that, does speak the truth. So Micaiah had the strength of his convictions. If you look at 1 Kings 22, verse 28, 1 Kings 22, verse 28, Micaiah says, if you ever return in peace, now he's talking to if you ever return in peace, the Lord has not spoken by me. And he said, take heed, all you people. So he's giving warning right then and there what's going to happen to Ahab. You will know what is going to happen. You will know that I'm speaking the truth because this is what's going to happen. So Micaiah firmly believes, and he has the strength of his conviction. Now understand, not everyone, one of the lessons we can draw from Micaiah is that not everyone is going to accept God's truth. As you said, Ahab knew. Go back to chapter 21. We know that Ahab believed God. He knew that there was a right from wrong. Yet he did, in this particular case, he did not follow God. He did not accept God's truth. He wanted his 400 prophets the ones that he bought and paid for, to tell him what he wanted to hear. But he knew that what Micaiah was telling him was true. How do we know that? When they went to battle, what did he do? He told his son-in-law, dress up in your fancy kingly clothes. Go out there and get noticed. Me? I'm going to hide over here. But what happened? Even though he was in disguise and nowhere near the battle, he got killed by a random arrow that went through the joints of his armor. Let's look at verse 30 here, chapter 1 Kings 22, chapter 30. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, I will disguise myself and go into battle. But you put on your robes. So the king of Israel disguised himself and went into battle. Now the king of Syria had commanded the 32 captains of his chariot, saying, fight with no one small or great, but only with the king of Israel. So it was when the captains of the chariot saw Jehoshaphat, they said, surely it is the king of Israel. Therefore they turned aside to fight against him, and Jehoshaphat cried out. And it happened when the kings of the chariot saw it was not the king of Israel, they turned their back from pursuing him. Now a certain man drew a bow at random and struck the king of Israel between the joints of his armor. So he said to the driver of his chariot, turn around and take me out of the battle, for I am wounded. Basically, at the continue of the chapter, Ahab dies then at sunset. And the cry goes out. Remember Micaiah's words about a leaderless flock? The children of Israel were like sheep. The blood ran from his wound unto the floor of the chariot. As the sun was going down, a shout went through the army, saying, every man to his city and every man to his country. So the king had died and was brought to Samaria, and they buried the king in Samaria. So 400 prophets told Ahab that he would win. One prophet told Ahab he would die. Who was right? The man of God? Or the man, or the bought and paid for prophets? Which one was right? They said, God knew, pardon me, Ahab knew God's truth. He just didn't accept it. He turned his back on it. So what you have with Micaiah is you have a triumph of conviction over compromise. Micaiah would not compromise. He held true to what God told him. You have consequence over comfort. Micaiah spoke the truth, even knowing that he would end up in prison. And you have real versus false. You have the real prophet, the man of God, Micaiah, versus the 400 false prophets. And understand this, there is no, another lesson we should get from Micaiah, is there is no escaping God's judgment. As I said, what did Ahab try to do? He heard Micaiah's words, but Ahab tried to hide, tried to avoid God's judgment, but he couldn't. God sees everything. So Ahab died. Probably one of the most important lessons that we need to draw out of this is that even if you are outnumbered, how many false prophets were there? 400. How many real men of God were there? One. Even if you are outnumbered 400 to 1, if you are with God, you will win. And that is probably the most important lesson of Micaiah. To recap, I know this is a short lesson. To recap for Micaiah, Micaiah, the son of Emily, was a man of God in a very difficult time, in a very difficult situation. He was despised. He was looked down upon. He was hated. You know, Ahab flat out said, I hate him. So the man's in danger every day for speaking the truth. The king has ultimate power in those days. He can do with Micaiah whatever he wants. He's only brought before the king because Jehoshaphat, a good king, insists that they listen. Before Micaiah is brought before King Ahab, he is told what to say. You tell the king that he's going to win. So, very sarcastic at first, Micaiah says, sure, yeah, you're going to win. But it was obvious to both Ahab and Jehoshaphat that is not what he meant. Because what does Ahab command Micaiah to do? He says, tell me the truth. So Micaiah tells him the clear, unvarnished truth. You go up and fight, you're going to die. So why do you think Ahab insisted on going ahead with this? Because he believed. It's pretty clear that he believed Micaiah. Yet he went ahead disguising himself, hoping that he could win. But he didn't. He lost his life. So the lesson for us is, we need to pay attention to what God is telling us. Sometimes we don't want to accept it. But the fact that we don't want to accept it doesn't make it any less likely. Sometimes we're outnumbered. We have 400 of them and one of us. Does that mean we should shut up and go along with the crowd? It's easy to do. And you see people do it all the time. But is that what God wants? I strongly suggest we get a chance to go ahead and read both 1 Kings chapter 18 and 22 and 2 Chronicles chapter 18. Read both of them. There's a few minor differences, a little bit more detail in Chronicles, but they tell the same story and they give the same lessons. And the lesson is, God's truth will prevail. No matter what, God's truth will win. So we need to accept God's word. We need to align ourselves with God, even though other people are telling us not to. And we need to keep our faith strong and our conviction to be on God's right side. This is the next song. Daniel, are you here? Daniel here? No? Oh, never mind. I'll be somebody else. I'm going to pick on you. Brian, I need you to look up Revelations 3:20. Be prepared to read that, please. And Royce, if I can get you to look up Genesis 3:10. Genesis 3:10. A young preacher was new to town, and he decided he'd go and visit his congregation. And so he was going around, you know, introduced himself. I'm Preacher Smith. I'm new at the church there. Here's my card. And he was doing it all around town until one day he came to a door and he knocked. Nobody answered. Knocked again. Nobody answered. Knocked a third time. Nobody answered. So he took his card and he wrote on it, Revelations 3:10, and he slipped it under the door. Well, come Sunday, he preaches a nice sermon. And at the end of it, when he's counting the collection, there's his card. Underneath Revelations 3:20, someone had crossed through that and said, Genesis 3:10. Can I get you to read Revelations 3:20, please?
Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me.
And Revelations 3:10? Genesis 3:10, I'm sorry.
Genesis 3:10. So he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was taken and I hid myself.
Now, the Bible has many, many lessons. This is not one of them, but just as an example, if the Bible has some humor in it. The Bible has a has first use of a military code in it. It has military engineering, military tactics. It has robber baron capitalist. Everything we know today is in the Bible. But for us, what does it mean to be a biblical man of God? The answer is, I think, a really good lesson is to look at the lesson today, which is Micaiah. We, in many ways, we are like Micaiah today. We are surrounded by a world of people who are telling us what to think and what to do. And it would be so easy, definitely a lot less stress, if we would just go along with this, what the world is telling us to do, right? But would that make us right? The answer is no. You know, look at Micaiah. He was known as a man of God by everyone, even people who hated his guts. They recognized that he had the true spirit of God in him. They knew that he held true to God's word. They knew that he was not afraid to tell the truth. Like the world of Micaiah today, a lot of people actually know the truth, biblical truth. They just will not accept it because they don't want it. It pulls a judgment on them. So they go along and just spout the common, you know, theme of the day, whatever it is, the common inclusion, you know, acceptance. God loves everybody. He wouldn't hurt anyone. We have to be more like Micaiah. We have to understand that although not everyone will accept God's truth, that does not devolve us of the responsibility for speaking the truth and for holding fast to the truth. Remember that there's no escaping God's judgment. Remember what happened to Ahab? There's no escaping God's judgment. It will come. Maybe not when you expect. It will come at a time of God's own choosing. God loves us, yes. He loves us enough that he's going to give us every opportunity to repent. He loved us so much that he gave his only son to take our sins upon himself, that we could thereby would stand before God pure and free from sin, absolved of our sins. That's how much he loved us. But at the end of time, God's judgment will come. So just remember, like Micaiah, hold fast to the truth. Be known as a man or woman of God. We always want to end our devotion with an invitation. If you need help, if you would like the prayers of the church, we have people here who are willing to pray with you. We can't pray for you, but we can pray with you. If you don't think you have enough knowledge, we have people here who will guide you in lessons. If you've fallen away from God and need to come closer, we have people here who will help bring you back. But, like Micaiah, you have to take that step. You can't just sit in the background. You have to step forward. So if you need the help of the church, if you think you need to be baptized, have your sins washed away, we have water available and people who will guide you through baptism. If you need prayers, we're here for you. So if you need help, please come forward as you stand and sing.